Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, What Did Jesus Mean? You Are the Light of the World.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to look with you one more time at the great Sermon on the Mount, that sermon that Jesus preached on the mountain to His disciples in Matthew chapter 5. And so far we've gone through all the Beatitudes, and last week we looked at you being salt, the salt of the earth. This is the last sermon in this, but this is really an exclamation mark, I believe, at the end of the Beatitudes. Here, I think the saying holds true, last but not least, this is the greatest. Jesus is going to talk with us about our identity once again, and He calls you the light of the world, a city set on a hill. So let's take a look and read that, and then we'll discover more about what Jesus means here. So, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when He sat down, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, and then you have the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those persecuted for righteousness' sake. Then you are the salt of the earth. And then this word in verse 14, for today, He says, He proclaims, You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What a great word God has for us today. So let's take a look and see more what Jesus means by this, though. What He means when He calls you the light of the world and a city set upon a hill. What's Jesus mean by that? Well, the first thing we note here, as we kind of did last week with the salt of the earth, is Jesus is talking about our identity here, isn't He? Because He begins this with the words, you are. Humes este, in the Greek. You are. This is who you are. And who are you? You're the light of the world, a city set upon a hill. Now, it's so important for us to have an understanding of our identity. That's so key in life. If you think of yourself, for example, that God has called you to be a hero, to go out and rescue and to save and to lay down your life, to bring people life and deliverance and salvation, then you're going to go out and save many because that'll be your identity. You'll try to live it out. If you just think of yourself, I'm a total loser and a coward, well, you're not going to get anything done because your sense of identity is screwy and not good. It's not going to help you at all. Now, our senses of identity can be good or wrong, I mean right or in error, but guess what? Jesus is never wrong. He is in complete truth. He's never in error. And whatever He says and declares, that is what is. It is reality. And what does He say here about your identity and mine in Him? He says, you are the light of the world, a city set upon a hill. And that's the word of God. So we better put it into our minds. That's who you are, because God says that is who you are. I declare it. So you're the light of the world, a city set upon a hill. Isn't that great? Feels good already. But it's not going to do us much good until we know, what does He mean by that? What does Jesus mean by this, to call you the light of the world in a city set upon a hill? Well, the word, let's go to the Greek first, for light is the word phos. Sounds kind of like an English word, right? Phosphorescent, something that shines light out to others. And considering, what does this refer to, this word in the Bible? Well, light. It's just light itself that God created. Brilliant, radiant light, even when He created it at the beginning of creation. Remember, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, we Read in Genesis 1. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. So what do we learn there about you so far? Light is something God creates. He declares it to be good. And he separates it from the darkness. It's juxtaposed over against darkness. Light, secondly, is also something that's not just there for itself, but it is to shine to others and to illumine the way. The word means light emitted from a luminous body like a lamp or a lantern, or light from a candle that shines to make all things bright and visible. You know, if you're in a dark, pitch black room, black as pitch, and you can't see a thing, you can stumble, you can fall, because you have no lights. You don't know what reality is. Flip on the switch, or carry in a torch or a candle or a lantern, and all of a sudden, the whole thing is visible, and you can see where you go. So, just as the light of the sun lights the way for us in the day, and the moon and the stars do the same for us at night, so you are to light the way in the world for people to God. The light that shines. It's also, if you look in the Bible, the dazzling light of the elect angels. You ever think about that? When you see an angel, if you were to see one, remember Peter in the book of Acts. He was in prison. He was sleeping in the dark between two guards. And while he's asleep, we read, suddenly a light shone in the cell. And an angel appeared and said, "Get up." And he led him out to freedom through the guards, opening the gates just by his power. If you look at the angels at the tomb of Christ, their faces were like lightning. The elect angels are full of light. And there's also light in this book, the Word. What do we read? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The unfolding of thy words gives light, says Psalm 119. So imagine if I just do this. Spiritually, light is flowing and pouring forth and radiantly shining out of this book to illumine the way and the path for us. There's light up above us in the heavenly realms. You know God's abode where he lives? It's a realm and a kingdom of light. For God alone has immortality, says Paul, and dwells in unapproachable light. Darkness has no hopes of getting close to the throne, no darkness or shadow there, but it's pure, brilliant, shining, radiant light of God, which is really what light is all about, isn't it? Ultimately, frankly, what is light? God himself. For we read in 1 John 1, John records what Jesus says. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Think about that, 100% pure light. And who is Jesus, God's only begotten Son? When he came, he said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Even eternal life is light, and it is of God. So in short, what are we going to say about light? Light is simply this. It's light, real light, and it is that which is of God and from God. For it is God himself, Jesus, the gospel, the word, the book, the elect angels, and we are light. And all of those things that are good and of light, like love, joy, and peace, virtue, order, courage, uprightness, and all these things are of the light as well. So it is whatever is of God and from God. So when Jesus declares to you on that mountain, "You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill," he is saying, "You are the ones who are of God in the world, and I call you to shine." What a great declaration to you. Do you take some honor in this? That God has bestowed upon you such a title? Wow, do you think of yourself this way? Why does Jesus have to call us this here? What is he doing when he calls us this? He is, on the one hand, giving you your identity as light. He's declaring that you are of God. But he is also doing what? He's distinguishing you from the rest of the world. From all the rest who live on the earth. You are different. And what are they? He declares it also here in these words, namely, that they are darkness. They are not light. Is the world we're living in actually a dark world? You know, we all got sunlight on the beach, But spiritually, this is black as pitch down here where we live. We're living in the shadowlands. People who don't know Jesus Christ, who don't acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, according to the scriptures, are darkness. We read in Ephesians 4, Paul says, "This I affirm and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds, for they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart." So, if you don't know Christ, your mind, according to God, is just black. It's dark. There's no light in it. You're not a candle shining. You're just pitch blackness if you're an unbeliever, according to God. And we're surrounded in this world by darkness. If you're in the dark, then you're also going to walk in dark ways. Listen to what this: the path of the righteous, the Christians, is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. But the way of the wicked is deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Can you imagine that? A land on which no light dwells. There's just pitch blackness, and you're feeling your way, groping about in the dark, in the gloom, in the blindness, unable to see where you're going. That's the world we're living in. Like once I was in the Maine woods, I told you this, I was up on top of a boulder and I talked with my friend from the ship. We were hanging out, watching the stars. Then the clouds came in, and before we knew it, night had fallen over the forest, and we got up to climb off that 10-foot boulder, and we could see not our hand in front of our face. And we had to go by hands and crawling out of that forest as best we could. By God's grace, we made it. But the world is like that. It's black as pitch. They don't know the way. They can't see a thing. They don't know. And they even call good evil and evil good. They put darkness for light and light for darkness, says the Bible. They think one thing's right, but it's really wrong. They think something's wrong, but it's really right. They can't see a blooming thing. But you're the light of the world to shine the way. Darkness in the earth is largely caused also by the evil angels. Do you know that they're called dark? "For we're not contending against flesh and blood, human beings," says Paul, "but against the principalities, powers, and the world, and against the world rulers of this present darkness, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." If you could see a demon, what would it look like? Well, they might masquerade as an angel of light. Satan tries to do that. But really, in truth, they are just shadows, vultures, crows, black creatures, shadows and evil. They are darkness. And their prince, the devil, is called the prince of darkness. And Jesus, when he was being betrayed at his hour, said, "But this is your hour and the power of darkness." You ever think darkness has power to it? I remember walking into Merlin's cave in England on the Tintagel coast, the Cornwall coast of England, and there was this big cave that went through the outcropping of rock by the great Atlantic Sea. And it was nighttime, and we started to walk into that cave, I and two other travelers, but we only took two steps in. It was a palpable darkness. It was complete pitch black, black as pitch, and we dared not go but a step or two in, lest we be lost forever with the tide coming in. The devil's kingdom is called the dominion of darkness, like that cave, and it's associated with death, for we walk in the valley of the shadow, don't we, of death in this world. And Sheol, after this world, according to Job, is the land of gloom and deep darkness, the land of gloom and chaos, where light is as darkness for those going down there. And it's associated with the final judgment and the outer darkness where the wicked shall be cast. For Jesus says in Matthew 25 that the sinner shall be cast into the outer darkness, skotia in the Greek. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. Oh, you don't want to go there. That's exclusion from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. No more light forever. Can you imagine such a thing? Wouldn't that be fearsome and terrifying? An eternal night, an eternal tossing sea upon which all who go there eternally are lost, find no rest, a dark and stormy night where no clouds or no stars appear for the cover of darkness, and that forever with weeping. I mean, that is a fearsome thing, the darkness to come if you're not saved in Christ. So this is the state of the world we're living in. God separates you from it. I ask, have they any hope, the world in which we live? Is there any chance for them of rescue? Is there any light to guide them to safety, or are they eternally lost? What do you think, Karen? There is one hope, Jesus says, and one hope only for the world, and that is you. For you are the light of the world. I have set you as a city upon the hill to shine light to them that they might hear of me, the true light, come to me and be saved. Do you know that you're the only light in the world, says Jesus? The only hope of their salvation, their only hope of rescue? Well, Jesus says, consider how I called you out of darkness. You once also were darkness too. You were lost and groping about in the night, but I came to find you. For it's foretold in Scripture, Isaiah 9, but there will be no gloom for her that was in anguish. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, upon them has light shined. Who is that genie? It's Jesus Christ. He came as light into the world. And he is the true light that enlightens every man. I'm the light of the world, declares Jesus when he came. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I'm reminded of when Chip Hampton, who's now gone home to glory, told me once he was down diving at 145 feet, deep, 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 into a cave. Would you do that? Not me. I'm claustrophobic. And while he was down there, his light, which he had, his only light, went out. And he was in complete pitch black. He knew he had only minutes left and no hope of escaping this cave. Until, at the very last, a diver went by with a light, and he went for that diver, towards that light as for his only hope. And that diver he clung onto, and that diver led him up to safety, to a land of freedom, to sunshine, to fresh air again. And that's what Jesus came to do, to give us a new life and freedom and fresh air and blue skies. And you're the only hope. You're the diver now. I am shining in and through you, he says. He called to the Jews, the light's with you a little longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in the darkness doesn't know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. How do we become light in the world, or in Jesus? It's by believing in him, that you might believe on him. Paul says this, listen, he says, Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality. Think about that word, immortality, to light through the gospel. The gospel is the light. And what is the gospel? The word that Jesus, the only light, the true light of God, has come into the world to destroy and conquer and triumph over the darkness, to set you free. He did that very thing we know at the cross. The devil, with all his powers of darkness, threw all the forces of evil against him at that cross to destroy him. And Jesus took the darkness of sin, the darkness of death, and there he conquered it by dying for our sins and rising again in the brightness of the morning on the third day. He abolished death, says Paul, and brought life and eternal life to light through the gospel. He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, says Paul, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. So a marvelous change transforms and occurs for you when you believe in Jesus. All of a sudden, what was darkness and shadow becomes brilliant shining light of heaven as the Lord himself comes to live inside of you to make you the light of the world. And we read in Peter, you're now a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, so that, with this purpose, so that you might declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you shine now to the world? You are the world's indeed only hope. And a city set upon a hill, not just in the little valleys, but on a high mountain. Preach as if you are speaking from there, says the Lord. Are we seeing darkness attack us in these days? You know, towards the very end of the world, there's a last cold rush of frigid air in the darkness of the night before the sun crests over the horizon and eternal day comes. I always found that when I was sleeping outside on park benches. Yes, your pastor did that in Europe and in all kinds of crazy places in Europe. But I could always sleep through the night except for that last cold rush just before the sun crested the horizon, there was a final mad rush of frigid air. I couldn't sleep through it. I think that's what we're seeing today in the world. The darkness hates the light. It wars against it. And its aim is to get you not to shine. It attacks you. The devil persecutes you. The demons slander you. The world scolds and scowls at you and rejects what you have to say. It's not easy. It's a fight. That's why Jesus has to say to us here, but don't you let them intimidate you. Don't you let them put your light under a bushel. That's not what it's for, but to be put on a stand, to give light to all in the house. Don't let them make you afraid. Be courageous. Be strong. Luther said, if you want to be my preachers, this is what Jesus would say, you really have to take your place publicly and to stand up before the world as though you were on a high mountain. They'll try to darken your light because they can't stand it. But be bold and courageous against them. If you just keep yourselves from crawling under a bushel, and if you discharge your ministry faithfully, I, Jesus, will see to it that they do not succeed in putting you out. You know, to be the light of the world is not easy. To shine is not easy. It's joyous to shine, but they don't want you to shine. They want you to be afraid. They want you to hide your light, not shine it, not put forth your Christianity before their eyes. Keep quiet. Let us live in peace in the darkness. That's not our calling. For we were called to be a city set upon a hill and a light. What does that remind you of? A lighthouse. They are lost ships at sea. They are up and down on the turmoil of the wild waves. As they get to the trough, they can see nothing. As they get to the top, oh, wait, there's but one tiny shining light I see far out there, just for a moment, a little twinkle on the horizon. What is that light? It's Christ Lutheran Church, or it's you, your name. It is the bride. It is the church shining the light to those who are in the world, saying, come, turn in here, you violently storm-tossed sailors, in danger of the reef, in peril of the coast, danger of breaking up soon and plunging down into eternal darkness, in the fathomless depths below. Turn here. We are the light. We will show you the way, as we ourselves were once saved in the same way. And on those dark billows, they see your shining light, shining to them. What is it? It's you, the lighthouse, immovable, perfectly sure, founded upon a rock, upon a high mountain, against all the proud waves of this life, standing tall and strong. You are the light of the world, Jesus says, commissioned and set on that mountain, that hill, that high elevation, to call others to salvation, that many more may be saved, as you also were. Yes, Christ Lutheran, rise and stand upon your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you to serve and to bear witness to the things in which you've seen me, and in those things of which I'll appear to you, delivering you from the people and the Gentiles to whom I send you, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Great message, amen? Amen. Come on, this is Jesus. This isn't me talking. God has said you're the light of the world. God has said to shine your light. Don't put it under a bushel. God has said don't you be afraid. God has said get out there and shine your Christianity to others. They're going to see your good works, your mercy, as well as your preaching, especially of Jesus Christ, and you're going to save them. You're their only hope. Get out there and shine, because I'm with you, and I am the light inside of you. And I am leading you, joyous of awe, to the greatest place ever, to my kingdom of light, where, we read this, night shall be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun there in that kingdom, for the Lord God shall be your light, and you with me shall reign forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, What Did Jesus Mean? You Are the Light of the World. A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week. In our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.